We're starting this year off with this series of Seeking First, and I believe that that's the best way to start anything. Our key verse is Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first what? His kingdom, God's righteousness, and all of the things that you and I are looking for, whether it's provision, whether it's healing, whether it's friendships, relationships, all of those things God will give us if we always do what? Seek Him first. God's got to be the first. When do we seek God first? I mean, listen, the start of your day, I can't think of a better time to seek God first. Right? I mean, for me, it's like I can get, if I don't seek the Lord first, then I don't know about you, the rest of my day kind of goes haywire. All right? Anybody ever notice that? Listen, when you run into troubles in life, how many of you know the best thing to do is to seek God first? Right? If you're sick, all of a sudden you're feeling sickness, it's like, if your first thought is, oh man, I got to go to the doctor, or I got to take an aspirin, let me tell you, seek God first. Call out to God first. I remember, this is when we were pastoring in Texas, and we lived where the church was at. There was it was a country road, and we heard an ambulance go by, and we're like, oh man, I wonder who that was. But a few minutes later, one of the ladies from our church stopped by, and she says, my husband's having a heart attack, they just took him, but I wanted to stop here first and ask for prayer. And God saw him through it. He made it through. But it's like, you know, how many of us would have been like, forget it, I'll do it later. But she said, I need to see God first. So I want to encourage you to do that. You need direction. If you got good things happening in your life, I hope you see God first and say, God, thank you for the good things. You get a raise at work, you better go to God first. Amen. And not just like, man, I did a great job. No, Lord, thank you for that blessing. Amen. Amen. Here's how you can determine spiritual maturity can be measured. It's how fast do you seek God first, like compared to how you used to. Does that make sense? Like, oh yeah, you know what? God used to be third or fourth on the list, but you know what? Now in everything that I try to put Him first in it. Amen. So I'm going to challenge you to live a lifestyle where you put God first in everything. And so towards the end, we're going to talk about the outline of prayer, if you struggle in that. But it's not just about the prayer. How many of you know it's about a lifestyle? Yes. Amen. One of the things that Jesus taught, he taught His disciples all the time. And guess what? Jesus initiated almost every topic, but there was one time that the disciples initiated a topic, and that was they wanted Him to teach them how to pray. And if you look in Luke 11, it says one day Jesus was praying, so He was there, He was doing what He normally did, and I love what it says, when He finished, so I don't know, I kind of pictured the disciples like, is He done yet? Is He done yet? Like, when's He going to be? And as soon as He was done, when He was finished, one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to pray like that. There was something that they saw about the way Jesus prayed that they wanted that. There was they heard rabbis pray. They heard other people pray. But there was something about Jesus that said, listen, you've got a connection to the Father. I want that connection. Not only did He have that connection, guess what? When Jesus prayed, things happened. Amen. Amen. If He told the lame man to stand up and walk, guess what? They actually stood up and walked. So there was something about it that they wanted. And Jesus, when He prayed publicly. And I believe the reason He did that, and He even said that. He's like, you know, this, I'm praying basically for your benefit. I'm praying out loud so you will hear it, so that it would stir up a hunger within us to connect with God. Amen? Amen. Think about Jesus. He didn't need anything from the Father, and yet He still prayed. Publicly, privately, He spent time in prayer. And like I said, I'm going to show you that model. But first, this is kind of touching back to last week in case you missed it. We need to realize prayer, it's not about our request. It's about having a relationship with God. Amen. It's about having our relationship with God. You may even be at a place in your life where you're like, oh man, everything's good. I've got, you know, I got my health. I got plenty of finances. All my relationships are good. And you think, well, I don't really need to pray right now. How many of you realize if that's your thought process, you're missing what prayer is all about? Amen. We're missing it. It's about a relationship. And so Jesus taught us how to have that kind of relationship. And so I want to touch on three different areas. Number one, Jesus modeled a private prayer life. He showed us that the greatest relationships really are both public and private. And I want to look at that because, listen, your greatest relationship, it usually starts out in a public setting, but guess what? It goes deeper in those private settings when it's just you and God alone. So aside from our relationship with God, the greatest or the deepest relationship, other than like growing up with your family, is in marriage. And let me just say, how many of you realize marriage is between one man, one woman? That's what we believe, just for clarification. But I want to give you an example of two different couples. Think about one couple that when they're in a group, when they're with everybody else, they're just like, you know, loving on each other, hugging each other, calling each other, hey, babe, how's it going? And all. So outside, they're very affectionate when other people are around. But imagine if they got home, one goes to one room, goes to the other room. They don't talk to each other. They don't have dinner together. They don't do anything, no hugging, none of that stuff going on together. And even if one of them would have come to the other and said, hey, listen, you want to watch a movie together? And she says, nah, you know what? We're not that, you know, nobody's here to see us do that. So I'm not doing that. How many would you give good hope to that marriage? It's probably not going to last. Okay, let's look at the opposite. In private, they're all lovey-dovey. Baby, you're so, you know, you're so fine and all that stuff. I don't know. I'm not going to get too weird here. But anyway, that's how they are in private. But then they get in public, no holding hands, no talking to each other. I'm not even looking in your direction. And even if the wife says, hey, listen, aren't you going to introduce you to my friends? And imagine the husband saying, no, our relationship is private. It's not about anybody else. Nobody needs to know this. Again, how many of you know there's problems on the head? That relationship is not going to last. And sometimes as followers of Christ, we could fall into one of those extremes. We can flaunt God in public, but in private, no relationship, no conversation, no prayer, no worship. But when people see me, oh, hallelujah, Jesus is so good. Praise the Lord, right? And then the other side, you can be in private where you can really get into God's presence. But when you're in public, nobody even knows you're a follower of Christ. All right, nobody even knows it because you don't. This is private. This is just between me and God. Listen, I want to show you how Jesus, there is a balance in having a public and a private life with him. Amen. Amen. There is no such thing as my private Jesus. Amen. You got to, he modeled it for us to follow. And I want to give you a few verses out of Luke chapter 5. It says, news about him, talking about Jesus, spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear Jesus, hear him be healed of their sickness. So how did it spread? God was doing stuff. Jesus was doing stuff. People are like, hey, listen, if you want to get healed, that's the place to go. There was one time where he got into a boat and went to the other side, and the crowds followed him on the shoreline. And got there. Can you imagine? You got to get running pretty good. You got to have some endurance. Why? Because Jesus was very public about what he did. But look what it goes on to say in verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. He understood it's not enough just to be public. I've got to have my private time with God. I got to have my private time and intimacy with the Father. Another example in Mark chapter 1, very early in the morning. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Listen, you may have a busy schedule. You may have a lot. Jesus had a lot of demands on him, didn't he? People wanted to come. They wanted to hear. They wanted to be healed. They wanted all of that. And so Jesus did what he had to do to make sure that he had that time with the Father. He got up very early. Now, I know that's like taboo for some people. Some of you guys, that's your life, right? How many of you always get up very early? How many of you hate getting up early? Yeah, so listen, Jesus did what he had to do. So look, he got up early. He went to that place. And then look what it says in verse 36 and 37. Simon and his companions went to look for him. Can you imagine? They didn't get up early. They woke up, there's a crowd of people that are there, like, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? I don't know. Hey, you go that way. You go that way. I wonder if Jesus had to find different locations so they wouldn't find him. Like, okay, I know where he's at. He's not there. Anyway, they went and they're like, Jesus, everybody's looking for you. And it's not that Jesus didn't love everybody. Of course he did. But he still knew how important it was that he had that time with the Father. And listen, today people don't necessarily start looking in the bush for you for where you're praying. But how many of you know we got these little things called cell phones that people will interrupt you any time of the day? And I just want to say that if you're having that time with the Lord and your phone rings, you have permission to not answer it. Amen. Is that even possible? I thought if it rang, I had to answer it. No, let it go. Listen, if you allow the enemy to interrupt you with a stupid cell phone, how many of you know you will get calls every time? He'll be like, hey, somebody text him. Why are you texting me? I don't know. I just felt like I needed to text you. Am I interrupting you? Yes, you are. So don't answer it, right? Don't answer it. The deepest relationships may start in public, but guess what? They're built in private. Like when you do think about getting married, you're very public. You're up at the altar. Do you take this woman? Yeah, do you take that? It's very public, but guess what? A marriage is built in private, in our time together. And that's the same way I believe that God has designed us. Yes, we are built for corporate worship. There's something powerful and there's something important about worshiping God with other believers. But listen, you will never go deep until you learn to take the things that God did to you for you in a corporate situation and take it to God intimately. Like, what am I saying? If God speaks a word to you or something, even on a Sunday morning, I hope you don't just file it away and forget about it. Take it home and say, okay, God, you challenged me in this area. God, you spoke to me in this area. Allow God, just between you and God. And listen, sometimes we have altar times. That's great to have that. But you need, you know, maybe Monday morning, it's like, okay, God, I remember that word. I want to ruminate on it. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? If God's dealing with you about forgiveness and you're like, okay, well, you know, it's Monday, I don't have to think about it again. No, you allow God to do that work in you. Amen? I love this quote by Ian Bounds. He was a Methodist preacher back in the 1800s into the early 1900s. He wrote like 8 different books and 6 of them were on prayer. And this is what he said, public prayers are of little value unless they are founded on and followed up by private praying. Amen? So I can pray all the prayers I want out loud. If I don't have a private prayer life, then listen, I'm just kind of going through the motions. Right? I don't want to do that. Prayer, you may learn it in church, but guess what? It's going to be developed in your prayer closet. Amen? That's where it is. Your relation has to be that time where you get alone with Him. The most important thing that you will do every day, the most important is spending time with God. Amen? How many of you agree with that? Listen, family time is important. I love my family. I love them. We get up in the morning and got our grandbabies that are there and I'll give them a hug and that. But listen, I got to have my time with God. Family time is important, but not as much as work. Anybody think work is important? How many of you kind of like having food on your table and a house to live in? Right? We kind of get used to that. That's important, but it's not as more important than your time with God. Workout, a lot of people like, you know, I got to get my workout in. Nothing wrong with that. That's important, but it's not more important than your time with God. Amen. Amen. Your me time or your date, we're doing our date time. That's all good. And even church. How many of you know church is very important? But nothing is more important than your personal, private time with God. Amen. Amen. So I believe if you want to grow, if you want to get to that next level spiritually, you got to make an appointment with God and actually keep it. Amen. Like, okay, God, this is when we're meeting. I'm doing it. It's okay to set a time to do that. And listen, if you like, oh man, we got to get up early and go to the airport for whatever reason, then I would say either schedule it earlier or do something after, right? But make sure you set that appointment and do it. That's the best use of your time. And listen, we've got to realize that just like Jesus, there's maybe a lot of people needing us, but I've got to have, if we don't realize how important that is, then we're not going to make it an appointment. We're not going to do it. So let me ask you this question. When was the last time you got alone and really connected with God, with your Father? And I know some people say, well, I want to, I just don't know what to do. Well, we're going to talk about that. But like I said, Jesus showed us it can't be just public, or it's got to be both. Right? Not just public or private. Second thing that he taught us is that he modeled passionate prayer. Like, what is passionate prayer? I mean, listen, think about how, and maybe some of you guys here, you were taught how to pray. Maybe you grew up in a church that's very liturgical, right? All of their prayers are written down, and all you got to do is just recite the prayer. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Just read this prayer, and that's it. I remember, you know, where we pastored in Texas was a very traditional church that was there, and I'm not knocking it or anything, but the people didn't know how to pray unless it was written down. And one of the guys, he says, yeah, I was asked to pray at our family function over the food. And he goes, what? He goes, they had the nerve to ask me like 5 minutes, would you pray over the food? He goes, I didn't have time to write down what I was going to say. God is great. God is good. Thank you for this food. Amen. Right? Amen. If that's what, you know, if you can't even pray for that without having it written down, then you don't really have a connection with God. It's kind of weird some of the ways people have been taught to pray. So many prayers don't come from the heart. They come from paper. And there's a difference there right there. I hear a lot of people, I want to pray. I just don't know how to pray. I've had people tell me that. How many of you know, if you're saying that, that's one of the things that we would call communication. How about if you turn that to God? God, I want to pray, I just don't know how to pray. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Lord, I need you to show me. I need you to teach me. And as you begin to talk to God, just simply by using your words, listen, don't get caught up, am I using the right word? Am I saying it in King James the way, Lord, thinkest thou for us this day? Don't get caught up on what's right and what's wrong. Just like our children learn to talk, when they start getting a few words out, and maybe they want some more food and they start banging their cup or something like that, what is the phrase we tell them? Use your words, right? And so when you're learning to talk with God, just begin to use your words. Don't get worked up on how fancy it may sound. Oh God, I can't pray like this other person. Listen, I only speak, well, I guess I speak two languages, English and speaking in tongues. So that's it, right? And I don't know what I'm saying in the second one. I know poquito Spanish, right? So and I don't even know if I use that right. So there you go. Here's the thing. You use your words and you start communicating like it. Because here's the thing. There's going to be times that you go through problems, you go through difficulties, and you're going to need a real relationship with God that sometimes you get a little bit tense. Right, you may get a little passionate when you're coming to God and not worry about the words, because I believe any solid relationship, do you believe it's going to have its passionate moments and communication? Like sometimes it cracks me up when I hear a couple, we just never fight. We never argue. Yeah, I hear the laughing. We never have disagreements. And I would say you don't know each other very well. Am I right? Somebody's holding back if that's the case, because if you know each other, let me just say, there's going to be some passionate moments of disagreement. And that's very normal in a relationship. And I believe the deeper the relationship, sometimes the deeper the passion. So I think of Colleen and I, especially when we first got married, it was a little more tense then because we didn't really know each other that well. And we heard, the scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So we had more than one time that we had, we're up at 2 o'clock still discussing. Anybody else know what I'm talking about here? Or is that just us, right? Okay, so, but it was okay because, you know, you go through that, you can get passionate about it, but you come out on the other side knowing each other a little bit better. And hopefully, if you ever want to actually go to bed, there's a little humility. Like okay, I'm crying uncle at 3, so I'm just playing here. But listen, God wants a real relationship with you. He wants us to get real with him and connect with him. And like when you're going through things that just aren't right and you don't like it and you're uncomfortable, do you realize it's okay to say, God, I'm not happy about this situation? I can say that to God. Yes, you can. If you say, Lord, I'm not okay with this, right? I'm not okay with my engine blowing up and my car not working. Not like, well, thank you, Lord, for my car blowing up. I just don't want to say anything wrong to God. No, get real with him. Amen. Look at when Jesus was praying in the garden in Matthew chapter 26. It says, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. How many of you know we all have these times where we begin to feel sorrow and we're troubled, and God is not asking us to fake it. Jesus didn't fake it at that time, did he? Look what he says in verse 38. He goes, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. He's asking his friends to pray with him. Like, will you guys pray with me? Going a little bit further, it says that he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me, yet not as I will, but as your will. How many of you know what that looks like? Jesus actually fell. I'm not going to get down because I got to get back up. So I don't want to show my age here. So anyway, he actually fell to the ground. I thought about it. And weeping. And he was 33 when this happened. So and probably had a rock to lean on. Anyway, sorry. Totally got to get back to this. So anyway, so he fell to the ground. The scripture says that great drops of sweat like blood were coming. How many of you realize he was passionate? And he's saying, God, you know, he got to the point where he had to wrestle because, yes, he was 100% God, but guess what? He was also 100% human. And his human side was saying, I don't want to do this, right? Like, anybody want to volunteer for a cross? No, I don't want to volunteer for that. God, I don't want to do that. But he had to allow that human side to come in an alignment with the God side. And I know theologically, don't wreck your mind trying to figure that out. But until he got to the point where he said, God, but not my will, your will be done. Amen? Your will be done. And I know, I understand some people are not very, I'm just not very emotional. And sometimes, we talked about this in our Friday men's Bible study, sometimes we've gotten a little bit too dignified today in the church, right? Our prayer, oh yeah, well, I'm going to pray. And you know, listen, let me tell you, you may be dignified, you may not be emotional, but I want to tell you, when the world gives you its worst, it's time to get passionate with God. I think about these people that are living in Southern California. Do you think they're just like, well, Lord, I lost my house. I lost my family. I lost all this stuff. Just be with me. Or how many of you think that they're probably praying a little bit more passionate? Amen. Amen? It's like dignity goes out the window when you really, when the rubber hits the road. Amen? So there's got to be, I think there's got to be moments in our life that our prayers that we're sowing tears. Amen? That we're just like crying out to God, like, God, I need you. I need you. And listen, maybe not every prayer. How many of you know you don't have to be weepy every prayer? Right? God may be, hey, thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. But Jesus showed us it is okay to have times of passion before him. It's okay to vent frustration and your anxiety to God. How many of you know God's big enough to handle it? Amen. Going before God with your... Listen, God never expects us to fake it. He doesn't expect us to fake it. Look what... I love the scripture about Elijah in James chapter 5. Whoops. It says, Elijah, who was human as we are. How many of you know every character in the Bible was human just like us? But it says, yet when he prayed how? Earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. And as I was praying and thinking over that, he prayed earnestly. That was like, that's more than just like, Lord, would you turn off the water spout? No, he prayed earnestly and the rain stopped. But listen, you got to go back to the Old Testament to see what happened for the rain to come back. The Bible says that he had to pray 7 times before God allowed rain to begin to come again. Not just once. Listen, there's got to be persistence in our prayers. We can't just like, well, God, Lord, and you got all passionate one time. You may have to get passionate about something 7 times. You may have to 15 times, 20 times. How many of you know when you begin to get passionate, you're passionate until a breakthrough comes, amen? Amen. Until the breakthrough comes. And listen, maybe you've been around some people that know how to get intense when they pray. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They know how to get intense. And if you've not ever been around it, you're just kind of like, oh, that's a little weird. Come on. I see some heads like, oh, that's a little weird. Why are they so loud? You know, why are they so passionate about it? But let me tell you, when you are in a desperate situation, how many of you know you want some passionate people praying for you? Amen. I don't want the dignified, you know, dignified, you can pray for me if you want, but man, I want somebody that knows how to get into heaven. Amen. Amen. I want passionate prayer. I shared this quote the other, I don't know, last week or the week before. Let the passion of your prayer equal the intensity of whatever is coming at you. Amen. What am I saying? Some of you guys have prodigal kids or grandkids that are away from the Lord right now. Do you just want to say, well, Lord, please bring them back? Or do you want to begin to pound heaven and say, God, we need you to intervene? God, begin to move. People in Southern California, they need people that will pray passionate. If you get a diagnosis of cancer, how many of you know you want somebody that knows how to get to heaven? Amen? And get passionate. If your marriage is in a crisis, like whatever, how many of you see where I'm going with this? Like, I want to pray. I want people that know how to pray. Right? I don't want anybody reading a prayer for me over that. I want somebody that knows how to get before God. That it's okay to get a little emotional. Amen? Listen, think about John the Baptist. When news reached Jesus that he was beheaded, Jesus didn't say, oh, well, no big deal. I'll just see him on the flip side. I'll be there in a couple of years, right? I'm the Son of God, so I know where he's at. I know he's in a better place. Listen, Jesus wasn't flippant about it. What did he do? He actually got along with the Father. The Bible says that Jesus wept over that because he wasn't afraid to show emotion. Even though he knew where he was at, even though he knew that he was going to see him again soon. And why am I sharing that? Because a lot of people are trying to deal with their grief, their loss, their mixed expectation, and they just shove it down. Like, oh, time will heal all wounds, right? Time will heal it. I'll be okay. I'm going to be okay. Let me just say, you're not going to be okay if you're just trying to push it down. Right. You're not going to be okay because here's the reality. Time does not heal all wounds. It doesn't heal wounds at all. Only God can. We learn to deal with it. We learn to cope with it. But that doesn't mean you're healed. There's scars that are there. There's wounds that are there. And if you will learn to begin to bring it to God, God will begin to heal. And so it's okay. It's okay if you get angry at God. You realize that, right? I know we've always told people, you might be angry at God, just don't stay there. Amen. Don't stay there. It's like, but be real with him. God wants that. Here's the reality. Another, God can handle your hang-ups and he can handle your hurts. So if you're just real with him in that, God is big enough, he can take it. Listen, God, prayer is not about, you know, oh, I got busy work. If I'm going to be a Christian, I better pray. No, God, prayer is about God doing a deep work on the inside of us. Amen. God wants to do, he wants to heal us. And some of you here today, you've got some hurts and you've got some things that you've just kind of pushed down and you've learned, well, this is just my new normal. I'm just learning to deal with it. No. Listen, take it to God. Take it to God and allow him to actually begin to do a healing work in you. Amen? Come to him in passion. Come to him with your tears. Come to him with your anger or whatever it is, your doubts. Allow God to begin to do a work in you. Amen? So Jesus modeled private prayer. He demonstrated passionate prayer. And then he also modeled a plan for us to actually pray. So the what I was talking about, the disciples came and Jesus told them how to pray. And let me just say, when people hear messages on prayer, a lot of times it's like, okay, I'm pumped up. I'm going to go pray. And then they get in their prayer closet and they pray for about a minute and a half. And they're like, I don't know what else to say. Come on, anybody ever been there? I know I was, right? I don't know what else to say. I ran out of words. Lord, you're good. God is great. Amen. Let me thank you for my food. Let's get out of here. I prayed. Listen, Jesus didn't leave us like that. Jesus didn't. And when the disciples came, and again, I just want to go back to that. When they came to say, teach us to pray, you got to understand these were young Jewish men, and all of them were taught how to pray by the rabbis. All of them learned a way to pray, but that, like I said, they saw something different about Jesus. It wasn't ritual. It wasn't just some words. They saw passion and they saw connection. And they're like, however you pray, I want that. And so when they asked that, this is Jesus' response, and he began to give it. He goes, this is how you should pray. Let me just say, he didn't say this is what you should pray, did he? He didn't say, repeat after me. Right? You better learn that. Repeat after me. Say the exact same. That's not a prayer to be repeated. It is a formula to follow. Like, God, you're covered. He taught them how to cover all the areas of their life that they need to pray. And he says, so this is how. This is how you're supposed to do it. So I want to repeat this together. Can we all just say it together? Because if you've been in the church for a while, you've repeated the Lord's Prayer. But he says, this is how you should pray. Let's say it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And some versions have, and yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. I'll talk about that. Let me tell you, when Colleen and I were first married, we went through a teaching on the Lord's Prayer, and it changed everything about how we prayed. It was like, I finally understood, because before that time, we were in Bible college. And it was like, I still didn't really understand how to pray. Other people were praying. It didn't really connect with me, so I would spend time in prayer. But honestly, it wasn't a lot of time in prayer. And I didn't really know, it was like kind of a hit and miss kind of thing. But when we learned that, it was like, okay, God, this makes sense. And prayers began, and we started praying according to God's word instead of like just kind of a hit and miss thing. It was like if you're trying to learn English, it was like taking an English class, and all of a sudden you understand that. So it was a plan. And let me tell you, if you miss this and think that just simply reciting the Lord's Prayer is going to draw you closer to God, how many of you realize it's not? You can recite this every single day. If you don't understand what you're doing and you're not connecting to God, it's not going to really make a difference in your life. And so I want to look at it. We're going to break it down. It's on the second page of your notes if you're taking notes. And let me just encourage you, you can take this one home, put it in your Bible, and when you spend time in prayer, until it becomes ingrained in you, understand the outline of how Jesus is telling them, this is how you ought to pray, because there's a purpose in every step. And some of you guys have been through maybe a teaching on this before, but it starts out, the Lord's Prayer, with our Father in heaven. And this is the point of the prayer. This is the beginning of the prayer where we start to connect with God. How many of you know if you're going to pray, doesn't it make sense to connect with God first? All right, to connect with him. And so he's telling you, call him our Father. You don't start out your prayer, oh God. I mean, you can, but I think there's something more intimate that Jesus was trying to say. You come to him, our Father. Because when you can begin to realize that you are a child of God, that you're not an outcast, you're not a foreigner, you're not disconnected, that you are actually a part of the family of God, then listen, the way we approach God makes all the difference. When you realize he is your Father, because we're his children. And listen, I heard this story about John F. Kennedy when he was in the White House, that his kids were young at that time. But you know, the protocol to get into that Oval Office where the president is, you got Secret Service, you got all this stuff. Nobody just walks into the Oval Office. But guess what? His son would like bypass all of the security, all of the Secret Service, no protocol whatsoever. He would run straight into the Oval Office and nobody tried to stop him, and he would jump up in his dad's arm. Why is that? Because he was a child. He was his son. And when we can understand that, listen, I don't have to worry about the protocol or anything like that. He is our Father. And when you begin to pray, Lord, our Father who art in heaven, my God, begin to come to him in that attitude. And then he goes on to say, hallowed be your name. That is holy. That's what that word is saying. Holy is your name. And listen, this is the point where you begin to worship God. I mean, there's nothing better than let's get connected. The scripture says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with Who knows? Praise, right? Like when you come to God, there better be a time of worship that we come to Him and we begin to honor His holy name. Amen. We begin to lift up His name. When you begin to lift up His name, then let me tell you, it sets your perspective in the right direction. I don't know if you realize that we live in a world that likes to use the Lord's name in vain a lot. Am I right? I mean, doesn't that just make you cringe when you hear that? Because not because we're all religious, but because we understand how holy God's name is. Yeah. We understand how holy He is. And when you hear His name used as a curse word or you know, and I talked about this when we went through the Ten Commandments, that even text messaging, OMG, how many of you know what that stands for? If you don't, oh my, yeah. That's using God's name in the inappropriate way. That's not honoring God's name. And I don't say that to be legalistic. I'm thinking we've got to get to the point where we are honoring who He is. And many times in prayer, like when I'm at this place where I'm, you know, hallowed be your name, I'll put on a worship song. I may put on a couple of worship songs and just spend some time in God's presence worshiping Him. Amen? Let me tell you, there's breakthrough that will begin to happen once you begin to do that. So, our Father, which art in heaven, thank You for that relationship. Lord, Your name is worthy. Lord, You are holy. You are righteous. You begin to focus on Him. And then He goes on. And I would just say, don't move on until you've done that. Yeah. Amen? Don't move on until you've done that. He goes on to say, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. What's He say? On earth as it is in heaven. Right, this is where we begin to submit our life to His Lordship. God, You are Lord. And here I am, I'm beginning to declare Your kingdom come. Lord, I want Your will to be done in my life. Because it's not about my kingdom. It's not about who I am. It's not about our church, Lord. It's not about Your business. God, I want Your kingdom advanced in this world. Lord, I'm asking You for that. And so we pray that. We begin, this is actually kind of like a declaration even. Like we're making this declaration, Lord, the relationships that I have in my life, I'm declaring Your kingdom come. Lord, I want Your will to be done. The entertainment You allow in your life, whether it's movies or music or whatever you listen to, Lord, if it's not honoring Your kingdom, I don't want it in my life. Right? Lord, I want to honor You. The activities that You participate in, how You run your life, whatever it is, Lord, I want it all under the Lordship of Christ. Amen? I want everything under that. And let me just say this, and I hope you're listening to me. Anything in your life that is outside of God's principles, that part of your life is not under the Lordship of Jesus. And so you may spend some time like, okay, God, here's this area. And you begin to listen to God. And God says, you know what? You need to change this attitude. You need to change this action if you actually want My will to be done in your life in this area. A lot of times we want God's will, but we're not willing to submit to His Lordship. How many of you know there's a problem there? You're not going to get God's will until we've submitted every part of our life to the things that God wants to do. Like, you can go through the motions all you want. Prayer is submitting that to Him and just beginning to cry out. Maybe your marriage is going through struggles and you just say, Lord, I'm asking for Your kingdom come. Lord, maybe there's relationships. Maybe your kids are gone haywire, whatever it is. You begin to declare God's will over that. And even, listen, it didn't even have to be in your life. How many of you know we declare that over our community? Amen. You can declare that over people that maybe their life has gone off on the wrong end. You begin to declare God's will there. Right? We're declaring that for Southern California. Amen. Regardless of how they have established themselves, we can still begin to pray and declare God's will over that. Amen. Let's move on in the prayer. Listen, how many of you know you could spend a little while in that? Guaranteed more than a couple of minutes if you begin to really begin to pray for people. But the next part, he says, give us today our daily bread. How many of you know this part of the prayer is not asking for God to give you a sandwich? Lord, I just need me a good piece of sourdough right now with a little butter on it. Some of you guys, stop it. I'm fasting that stuff right now. He's not at, that's not what it's about. This is where we humbly express our reliance on Him. You see, when you're asking for daily bread, how many of you remember Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You're saying, Lord, I'm confessing my complete reliance on you today. You are my sustenance. Lord, you are my strength. You are everything that I need. Listen, I don't want to ever be in a place in my life where I'm self-reliant. Amen. I got this, God. You know, if things get tough, then I'll call out to you. Let me tell you, we need God in every aspect of our life. And when we're saying, God, I need you as my daily bread, we're saying, Lord, I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your direction. I need your patience. I need the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody with me on that? Lord, I need joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I need all of those things, Lord. And I can't do it alone. It's not about me just, okay, I'm just going to get the self-control. We begin to call out. It is a fruit of the Spirit that allows us to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? We need him in our lives. So when we're praying, and listen, this is part of the prayer where all of a sudden you realize, I'm talking too fast. This is a part of the prayer where we realize it's not just about us, because look what he says. Give us today our daily bread. And so it's not like, give me my daily bread. It's like we begin to pray for other people. Lord, this person needs this, and we're just asking. Listen, we're praying daily bread for Southern Cal right now. Lord, not only are we asking for God's kingdom to come, yes, we are, but we're saying, God, help them remember and realize their reliance that they need you. Help them to turn back to you, oh God. And you can pray that for like I said, you got a prodigal child, you begin to pray, God, help them remember that you are their daily bread. You are the one that they need. And you begin to lift that to the Lord in that way. And again, you can spend quite a bit on both of those, right? As we're lifting up ourselves, our family, our community, wherever it is, we're declaring, God, we need you in a mighty way. He goes on to say, after you've done that, forgive us our debts. Confession and cleansing is a good thing, isn't it? Man, who doesn't need that on a regular basis? And let me just kind of help you with your theology, because a lot of people don't always get this. You are no more saved than the moment you give your life to Jesus. Right. You don't get more saved because you confessed more. And so, listen, as long as you're trying to walk a lifestyle, yes, we have our salvation, but how many of you know we have a mind and a flesh and a soul that is still broken? We have this fleshly sin nature that is still there. And listen, when sin is a part of our life on a regular basis, we are messed up. Right? We don't think right. We don't act right. We don't behave right. Our flesh, listen, if you didn't know it, your flesh is broken. Anybody realize that? God has taken us, thank you, but confession, that's why it says in the book of James, it says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed, right? We need healing in our mind. We need healing in our attitudes. We need healing with, you know, if we keep allowing certain behaviors to control us, then we will never have a deep relationship with God. And so confession is an important part. God, forgive me. Forgive me for that attitude. Forgive me for the way I treated that person. Lord, forgive me for the behaviors that I've allowed in my life. And listen, when we do that, we are drawing. Can you imagine what your life would be like if you really sought forgiveness every single day? Lord God, I need to be cleansed, because I don't know about you, things happen every single day. Amen. So he's saying, confess that. And then he goes on to say, he's saying, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. You know, a debt is something that people owe you. How many of you know when people do something wrong, they have a debt? But we're saying, God, I want to release that. Release offenses, release forgiveness, forgive people daily. Listen, I don't know about you. I don't want to be the person that comes to God for forgiveness, and yet I'm still holding a grudge against somebody else. I don't want to be that person. I want to walk in that kind of forgiveness. The measure you forgive others, listen, God's going to forgive you. Amen? I go to the Lord for forgiveness. Then he says, lead us not into temptation. That's protection from our flesh and the enemy. Listen, temptation hits all of us. Some of it the enemy does bring in, but how many of you know some of it is your own sinful desires? Not everybody's got the same thing that we struggle with, but listen, if we don't do anything about it, if we don't even address the things that tempt us, then we're just going to fall to it. You're going to fall to it every time. And I like how it says, lead us not into that temptation. Like if you know there's an area that's a temptation for you, how many of you know don't go there? Right? Like if you're really tempted to eat the donut, don't go hang out at the donut shop. Well, I just went in there for a cup of coffee, Lord, but those donuts were screaming at me, right? Don't go there. Don't be, you know, God can lead us, but we got to actually follow. Amen? So lead us not into temptation. Then it says, deliver us from evil. And let me just say this. We can't blame the devil for everything. Amen? The devil made me do it. Too many people say that. Listen, this is where we begin to purify our actions and our attitudes. Because for some of us, that evil is just simply our flesh. It's just our flesh. Some of y'all, it's the friends you hang out with. How many of you know you got people in your life, if they keep dragging you away from the Lord, you need to sever that relationship, right? If they keep taking you in the places and you're like, well, you know what? They said, hey, listen, let's go do this. You've got to change directions there, amen? For some of us, it's a wrong mindset. You know, some of us, we have stinking thinking. We got to allow God's word to change our thoughts. And then let me go on. It says at the end, again, this is only in some translation. Older translations have, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. A lot of people are like, well, why isn't it in the NIV or the New Living Translation? Let me just say, because they go to older transcripts and it wasn't in there. So I'm not going to be here to split hairs about should it be in there, should it not. I don't have a problem with it being in there. I don't have a problem with it not being in there, because that doesn't change my prayer. If we're giving God the glory, let's give God the glory. Amen? Because I don't know about you, sometimes I kind of want to keep a little of that glory. If God's something, I mean, anybody else with me? Like, okay, God, you know, if glory was a dollar bill, God, I'm giving you 99 cents, I'm just going to keep a penny. And it's like, oh no, Lord, all of it belongs to you. All power, all glory goes to you. And listen, as you practice this, I believe you will walk out of your prayer time ready to advance his kingdom. But I do want to say this, because we got it on a piece of paper. How many of you know we have the unique ability to make everything a ritual in life? Don't allow the Lord's Prayer to become a ritual. Oh, I got to go through it. I got to make sure I get this point. I better make sure that I hit that point. Don't let it be, it's supposed to be a real connection. Amen? So it's not just like read it. And let me even say this. It's okay if you pray this prayer out of order. What? I got to go in order, right? I got to do it just like Jesus said. Listen, if you really had a bad day and you really messed up and you've got some sin you got to confess, how many of you know it's okay if you start with, Lord, forgive me. It's okay. If somebody did you wrong, you know, instead of singing the somebody did me wrong song, go to the Lord and say, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I'm going to start out. I need to get this off. And then you go into worship. It doesn't. I don't think God's not like, well, I'm not listening to them. They missed a part and they didn't do it in order. That's not what it's about. It's about coming to him and really learning to connect with him. Listen, some of you guys may have a chaotic lifestyle. And I think especially, you know, when our kids were young, when they were babies, and, you know, my wife didn't have like an hour to spend with the Lord. It was like, okay, I'm going to start out right here and I'm going to pray it. And maybe later they're at nap time. I'm going to spend some more time and I'm going to hit some of these other areas. And you know, God is not worked up about, you got to do it all in one setting. If you can, that's great. If you have to break it up, and I guess just what I'm saying is don't get legalistic about it. Let's make sure that we come and let's connect to him. Amen? And I wanted to wrap it up with this. You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. I mean, you can do stuff, but let me tell you, you're going to follow the Lord. You're going to walk in more power, more strength. You will become a better person, a better follower of Christ, a better mom, dad, a better child, a better employee when we come to the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Amen? So we're going to wrap this up. Sorry, these last 2 weeks I've gone a little bit longer, but I will be better. I want to declare, let's declare this. We sang this song at the beginning of service, Father, let your will be done. Can we make that a declaration tonight? Or this tonight, lights went down, sorry. Can I just have everybody stand? And this song is really the Lord's Prayer. And I want to challenge you as you go today, wherever you go. And even this week, just take some time. If you've not ever prayed like this, I want to encourage you just to this week say, okay, God, I want to try to pray according to the Lord's Prayer. I want to follow this outline that you have given us. Again, don't just recite it, but let it be a prayer. And take some time. And listen, if you're 20 minutes worshiping the Lord, how many of you know that's okay? It's not a matter of getting through it. It's a matter of connecting. Amen? So as we do this, listen, if you need prayer at the end, and we got some of our people that will pray, but we're going to make this, and then we'll wrap it up. You can pray. You can close us in prayer after you sing about prayer.